KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
At the hands of producer Steve Ryman, we are back on the air, and Vince Torres, he is the executive director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, has just joined the program. Of course, you had a chance to visit with Holly as well. She does amazing ministry things and was speaking well of you. Vince, I'm embarrassed when I see people like Holly and Vince Torres yourself, because I don't get half done of what you guys do in a single day. You are multitasking maniacs.
We do what we can, and you do plenty. You do plenty. Don't sell yourself short.
Well, hey, you are also an executive pastor at Blaze Church, so you got to preach a little bit. You got to administrate a little bit. You got to go do some visiting with politicians all over the state. So it's amazing the things
that's
God
right.
has you doing.
That's right. It's fun. Love the calling. Since I was young, always had a passion for two things, and one was ministry. And one was politics. And so just, you know, pleased that God has opened up opportunities for me to be able to do both of those.
Yeah. Well, what a blessing. Please tell us about the Family Policy Alliance. We've had you on before. You're a frequent contributor to the program. But I want people to really understand what the Family Policy Alliance does.
Yeah. So we are a nonprofit, nonpartisan Christian organization. And I emphasize Christian because we do consider ourselves to be a ministry. And basically what we like to do is to serve as a Christian voice in New Mexico government and politics. So we keep track of what's happening legislatively at both the local and the federal level. But we like to concentrate most of our efforts on keeping up with what's happening right here in New Mexico at the state capitol in Santa Fe and some of our local governments. And we focus our attention to really three areas, one being life, one being the family, and the other one being religious freedom. And so during the legislature, I'm a paid lobbyist. I'm there to interact with legislators to basically make our position and our convictions known. And hopefully, you know, when I do my job well, to try to bring some folks over to our side, as we've been able to do over the last few years working with both Democrats and Republicans.
I'm going to skip down a couple of questions on my list here, Vince, to one that we talked about off the air a little bit. And that is a lot of things that you're talking about. When you talk about sin and what the Bible says, I mean, there's all kinds of issues. There's sexual orientation. There's how you identify sexually. There's a lot of questions that you deal with. And I know your heart is, even when you disagree with people, to still love them. How do you accomplish that?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the benefits that people of faith, or in my case, even as a pastor, it's one of the benefits that we can bring to conversation, especially in a day and age when civil dialogue is often something that seems to be impossible. The fact that we can lead with love first and engage in a winsome way. In fact, that's one of our core values at Family Policy Alliance, is winsome engagement. And one of the things that we like to really do is to recognize the challenges that we face as us against the challenge, or us against the problem, not us versus people. And we've, you know, had great opportunities to have conversations over the years with people that we adamantly, you know, disagree with on certain issues. But to be able to get to a place where we can still have conversation and dialogue, and even walk away, maybe not agreeing on what we talked about, but at least there being some mutual respect from one human being to another. And I think as Christians, that's what has to lead us into these conversations, is an acknowledgement that every individual that we interact with is valuable. They matter to God, so they should matter to us, and every life is valuable because they were created in God's image. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the scripture makes it clear that we are to love one another. We're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And I think one of the things that we have to, you know, keep ourselves from doing is buying into, you know, the lie that if I disagree with you, it means I'm disrespecting you, mm-hmm. or that because I disagree with you, it means I'm discriminating against you. Especially in this country, in which, you know, pluralism has been part of the way of life for America since its very founding. There has to be an acknowledgement that at the end of the day, we all still need to live together, and we all still need to interact with one another. And we can't do that if we're constantly trying to carpet bomb those who disagree with us.
I'm not aware of anything that Christian organizations are doing to try to silence the abortion lobby. But I do know that the Christian community strongly opposes abortion at all levels. In fact, Right to Life Committee, your friend Ethel Maharg is on the program frequently, and she's not just talking about abortion. She's talking about life from birth through, or conception, really, all the way through natural death.
That's right.
And we don't think about euthanasia and some of these other issues, but it seems like the secular, non-Christian people want to silence the Christians. The Christians don't want to silence them. You just want to have a conversation. You want to express your opinion. You want to have a difference. You want to do that respectfully.
That's
in a winsome way.
That's right.
But you're not trying to silence them. My perception is that they're trying to silence Christians from
speaking. Absolutely. And I think that's been one of the strategies of the far left for quite some time. It entered society through this concept of separation of church and state that really had nothing to do with the separation as most people would think of it. It really had to do with silencing the church mm-hmm. and silencing people of faith, basically telling us to keep our faith and our convictions and our way of life at home, not to legislate our morality or make any attempts to be part of civic discussion, to keep all of that to ourselves. The problem with that is it's inconsistent with what the far left is trying to do. They have a particular way of life. They have a belief system, and they are trying to legislate their version of morality. And I think that's one of the things that I'll always be quick to, you know, correct people on, is they'll come to me and say, you can't legislate morality. Now, from a spiritual perspective, I agree with that 100%. The law cannot change the heart. Only God can do that. But as far as legislating morality, that is what government does each and every single day. They legislate the way that we live. So it's never a question of whether or not we can or we should legislate morality. The question is whose morality is being legislated. And I think that's why, you know, through Family Policy Alliance, one of the things that we encourage people of faith is to make your truth known, make your values known, make your morality known, just like the other side is. Let's have that conversation. Let's find out where we disagree, but let's also find areas that we do agree. And I think, you know, across the board, especially when you look at some of the social issues that Family Policy Alliance is involved with, we have found over the years that, you know, irrespective of party affiliation, there is a lot that we actually agree on, one of them being the sanctity of human life, mm-hmm. Which is fundamentally ingrained in who we are as a people. New Mexico values. I was raised, you know, with the importance of life being at the forefront and the importance of family. And again, all my family members being Democrats, you know, and it's a couple who, you know, served in office. So I don't think I think we can find areas that we agree upon, rather than always, you know, looking for the areas that we disagree. But I think that's part of the reality of the modern day politics, with the impact of far left policies and the progressive movement, is really an effort to create a wedge between us. And I think what you're going to see happen, hopefully even this election, is people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, rather than attacking one another, deciding to come together and to perhaps reject the effort to try to turn New Mexico into something that we really don't want it to be.
Well, and of course, you're aware of a new movement that really was kind of announced yesterday called the Respect New Mexico campaign. I'm sure a lot of people have already seen it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I saw the video like you did yesterday, was incredibly impressed with the content. And quite frankly, I think it really does appeal to the majority of New Mexicans, you know, especially our multi-generational families and anyone who has been here for some time that considers New Mexico to be home. It's a special place here. And embedded in our history and in our culture is a value of life and family and our freedoms. And I think, you know, through some of the content that Respect New Mexico put out yesterday on their video, I think it's something that's going to really appeal to the majority of people here in the state.
Vince, do you think Democrats and Republicans can actually come together and start working together for the best interest of the state?
Well, I think one of the things that we've seen in the past is Republicans and Democrats have done that. But I think where we are in a different place right now is that it's not Republican versus Democrat so much as it is progressivism versus everyone else, is really how I see this election beginning to start to take shape, especially when you look at what happened in the primary election a couple of weeks ago, where you had, you know, moderate traditional Democrats, you know, 5 of the 7 in the Senate being successfully defeated by radically progressive candidates. I think what that kind of demonstrated is a shift. That again, I think is going to put us in a position come November where we're not simply choosing between two political parties or even three or four, you know, political parties anymore. I think it really is going to come down to, do we want to go the way of progressivism? Do we want to go the way of California and these other states? Or do we want to stop and say, no, that's not New Mexico, and we want to respect New Mexico, and we want to preserve our New Mexico values?
In our first half hour, we were visiting with Holly Slade, and she told me and referred to this as, we are at the top of the list in with children that are hungry in the United States.
Yes.
Vince, how do we get off the top of the bad list and on the top of the good list? How do we get to the top of the good list?
Well, I think it's a challenging question, because obviously we didn't get to those places overnight. I mean, you're talking about decades and generations of policies that, quite frankly, have put us where we are, or in some cases kept us where we are. And I think one of the things that we have to acknowledge is, again, just even as Christians, going back to what we see in Scripture, there is something to be said for a strong family. And I think, you know, we can certainly look at some of the ills of what's happening here in New Mexico and point to the breakdown of the family, the broken homes. And I come from a broken home myself, so I can speak to that. And I think that, you know, one of the things that the church needs to continue to do is obviously fulfill our responsibility that we have been given in Scripture. I think we've been all too quick over the years, and perhaps even over generations now, to quite frankly, give so much of that, authority and so much of that responsibility over to government. And I think one of the encouraging things that I've seen of late here in New Mexico is the church is finally taking back our position and doing what, you know, Scripture commands us to do. Pure and undefiled religion before God is what? You know, visiting orphans and widows. That's what the Scripture says. Mm-hmm. And I it's been encouraging to see, even, you know, through the work of Calvary, right here at Calvary Albuquerque, in partnership with so many other churches, New Mexico Prays, to see the church is finally saying, we're going to do that. We're going to provide for that. And so I think the church has a huge part to play in it. I think the family has a huge part to play in it. But then there is also the political side as well. Mm. And if you can, you know, do a comparison, you can look at Arizona, you can look at New Mexico, two states that basically came into the union at the same time, very, very similar geography. In fact, I would argue that New Mexico is a significantly better and more beautiful place to live than Arizona.
Absolutely.
We have more natural resources. you know, but it's interesting that you fast forward a little over 100 years since statehood, and look where Arizona is compared to where New Mexico is.
Yeah.
You know, with an economy that's significantly higher than ours, more people, higher standards for education. I mean, they outperform us in almost every single area. Well, what's the difference between Arizona and New Mexico? It's politics. Mm. And that's where who we elect matters. Mm. Because ultimately they're going to make decisions that are going to shape the future of our state, not just for a year or 2 years or even a term, but in many cases for multiple generations.
We have Vince Torres. He is the Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico in studio. He also serves as the Executive Pastor of Blaze Church in Santa Fe. When we come back, we're going to talk about how parental rights and religious freedoms are being threatened in our state. Stay with us. Vince Torres coming up next.
The future of car buying is here at PetriePressGo.com. From fingertips to driveway, PetriePressGo.com is the easy and safe way to buy or lease from the comfort of home. Browse thousands of new and pre-owned vehicles. Click. View pricing, instant trade-in offers, real-time loan approvals, and more. Buy completely online without ever visiting our dealership. At your pace from home with doorstep delivery. Get started now at PetriePressGo.com.
Listen to this hotspot as Skip Heitzig shares a lesson about owning your faith.
So he is mentored by this priest. He becomes king himself, Joash, Jehoash. So now you have a politician with a godly background. He does what is right in the sight of the Lord.
The story doesn't end there.
But his righteousness only lasts while his mentor lasts. When his mentor dies, when the priest dies, he starts taking on the values of the people around him.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
If your faith is only propped up by others, you will stumble when those props are gone.
Now this from Skip about deep roots.
You need to come to a place where you build your own roots, man, and you stand before God yourself, man or woman of God, and you are getting the strength directly from the Holy Spirit so that when they die or if they fall or something happens, your faith is not shaken. Your faith is not shaken.
Hotspot.
since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi, friends. John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept, and there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Vince Torres in studio. I think he's also a basketball guy. That's why I really like him.
That's right. I'm
back,
a Christian.
Back in the day, yeah. Well, I tell people all the time, you know, once you put up a hoop in your driveway, that means the Holy Spirit's present.
That's right.
I hope God doesn't strike me down when I walk out of the studio today. I have a couple friends of mine that I always tease about basketball being God's game, and they actually tell me, look, the only sport that's ever really mentioned in the Bible is running. And that's really true.
That's true.
I can't run. God did not gift me with any ability to run.
Yeah, I'm with you. If I'm running, it's with some sort of ball in my hand.
Yeah, I think a friend of mine told me about a T-shirt that I should wear, and it would say something on the back of it like, "Thank you, I have never passed anyone before."
That's great.
Hey, Vince, I want to ask you about. I don't want to trivialize this. You know, we make some jokes, and I think that life is really a lot easier when we have some levity and we enjoy it. And I had Brian Nixon on yesterday talking about the beauty of our culture and finding Christ in culture. And, you know, so many people get freaked out when they listen to certain kinds of music that are not necessarily Christian music. And Brian just gives us a new appreciation for everything, you know, how you see the Lord in all these things. And it was an amazing discussion. So if people have a chance, I hope they go to abqconnect.online. This broadcast, in fact, will be podcast and available on our abqconnect.online. Vince, you're the executive director of the Family Policy Alliance. You also serve as an executive pastor of Blaze Church in Santa Fe. Congregation safe and sound through COVID?
They are, you know, and we've actually started to gather together again over the last several weeks, and people are excited to be back, taking, you know, safety precautions. And some of our folks who are still vulnerable and have some underlying conditions are still participating via the stream. But I tell you what, people are excited to be back in church and to be worshiping corporately as one body in Christ.
Vince, we don't have a gun to our head, but you really believe that parental rights and religious freedoms are threatened in this
Absolutely.
Country of ours. Tell us why.
Well, you know, I think it's one of the things that we've seen over the years is a concerted effort to undermine the family. And I think one of the things that we have seen, and it's been more concerning of late, is the target that so many groups and efforts have when it comes to our children. And, you know, trying to not only undermine, but quite frankly, in some cases, completely eradicate, you know, parental rights. We're both parents, you know, and I think you and I would agree, as I think most parents would, that, you know, we are the best suited, you know, to raise our children and to make decisions for them, whether it be, you know, medical decisions or other life decisions up until they are of age to start making those decisions for themselves. But I think one of the things that you have seen through public education and through other efforts of organizations is to begin to infiltrate the family and start to move kids in a direction that quite frankly builds up hostility between children and parents. And we see that with the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood. There was a recent article that Family Policy Alliance National put out talking about a mobile application that Planned Parenthood has now launched that's specifically targeting young girls and young boys and beginning to teach them, you know, sex education, in some cases, very inappropriate material at a very young age, you know. And so my advice to parents is, especially if your child has a smartphone, make sure you know the sort of content that they are accessing on their mobile device. And again, the idea there is to get around parents. We've seen that here in New Mexico. A young girl, you know, case in point, I have a 7-year-old daughter myself, but, you know, my daughter cannot get an aspirin, you know, at school without me having to sign off on it. And yet, you know, if my daughter were 13 or 14 or 15 years old and wanted to have an abortion without my knowledge, her school nurse could take her to the abortion clinic without ever having to notify me, mm-hmm. much less get me to sign off on it. So it's something that's already, quite frankly, ingrained in the way that we do so many things. And I think it's one of the things that we're going to continue to fight for at Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico is to make sure that parents, you know, retain the authority and retain decision making when it comes to how their children are raised.
You're a 501c3 organization, a ministry. How do people support you?
You know, that's the beauty of our organization. You know, I know a lot of these other organizations out there that, quite frankly, we you know, lobby on the other side of, have a lot of outside money and millionaires who fund them. Family Policy Alliance in New Mexico has none of that. We are locally funded by folks who just believe in what we're doing, you know, people who share a passion for life, family, and our First Amendment rights. And so we are supported by local New Mexicans, and we have donors in every corner of the state, plenty right here in Albuquerque. And we're thankful for them. And if any folks listening want to continue to support us, especially through this COVID pandemic, which has certainly impacted all of us, you know, we would appreciate it. You can give online at familypolicyalliance.com. And you can, there's a donate button right at the very top. And if you like what we're doing, we thank you in advance for supporting us with your financial gifts and your prayers.
We've mentioned that the election, general election, is coming up in November. Of course, all 112 of the state representative positions are up for election. I understand that there's been 101 candidates recruited by the Republican Party to run, which is more Republicans than we've ever heard. Haven't heard a lot of reports about the Democrats. Not really receiving much response when we ask them to come on the program. I've even promised not to ambush anybody about, you know, right to life issues and those kind of things. All we know that the National Democrat Party is absolutely about pro-choice, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for them to express on this program why they think that's an important, but again, they know we disagree, but they don't want to even come and talk to us about it. So I guess I don't quite grasp why that is. Let's have a conversation. Let's give the reasons why and agree to disagree, or maybe a heart will be changed.
That's
I don't
right.
know.
Yeah, I think that healthy dialogue, especially among those we disagree with, is absolutely critical. If we are simply just spending all of our time surrounded by people who act, look like, and feel the exact same way that we do on any particular issue, we're not really opening ourselves up to what else we should be aware of. You know, and one of the things that I remember learning when I was a young kid from a teacher of mine in high school was the importance of not only knowing what you know and why you know it and why you believe it, but also knowing what others know and what others believe and why they feel that way. And so, you know, my encouragement is that, you know, I've done some interviews with some hostile organizations and bloggers. In fact, I tend not to turn those sorts of opportunities down, because the problem is that if you're not able to personally come on a show or participate in an interview or provide a statement, then what ends up happening is you have other people speaking for you. Mm. And I'd much rather put it out there in my own words than have somebody else try to characterize what I feel, and in many cases, mischaracterize what we believe and what we stand for. So I would encourage anyone, you know, listening who may even be on the other side of some of these issues to take you up on the invitation to come here and to have a good conversation.
Yeah.
It's a positive thing.
Vince, you have some resources available to voters on your website. Tell us what those are and how people can educate themselves in preparation for the upcoming election.
Yes, so we did some voter information and some voter education ahead of the primary, largely focusing on the life issue, because for the first time in since I've been doing this, we actually had positions for every single incumbent legislator on the abortion life issue that we were able to document. So that information is still available at familypolicyalliance.com. You'll see our legislative pro-life scorecard, in which we tell you exactly where the incumbent 112 New Mexico senators and representatives stand on the issue of life and abortion. Headed into the November general election, we'll continue to pump out information on some of the other issues that we believe are important, including, you know, family values and religious freedom. And all that information, again, will be available not only on our website, but we pump it out through social media, our Facebook page. You can look for Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, and that is by far the best resource to get the most up-to-date information on what we put out there. It's updated more often than our our website is. And so I would encourage folks to go ahead and like us on Facebook, and we'll try to get you as much information so that you can take a look and decide for yourself which candidate, best reflects what you believe and what you hold to be important when it comes to our elections and our government.
Earlier in the program, you encouraged us to have a conversation with our representatives, but you actually have some tools to help us communicate with our legislators. Tell us about that.
Yes, one of the things that we recognize is that it's difficult for people to do what I do, which is to, during a legislative session, literally spend every day, sometimes 12, 16, 20 hours just at the Capitol, interacting with our elected officials and having conversations. We recognize not everyone can do that. That's part of my job. But most people are busy. They're working. They're taking care of their kids. They're going to school. And so what we've tried to do is to make it very easy for people of faith to have their voice heard in Santa Fe. And we do that through what we call action alerts. And so when a particular bill, comes up and we want people to speak out, we will let you know that, hey, this bill is coming up for a vote in a committee or on the floor of either the House or the Senate. Here's an opportunity for you to get in touch with your official. And basically, we compose the message for you. All you got to do is put your information in, and it automatically gets sent and routed to your state senator, state representative, or the governor, depending on who we're communicating with. And again, it's just a time saver, and it's a way for you to participate. And quite frankly, it makes a tremendous difference. We have sent tens of thousands of messages over the last few years to elected officials, and we have to believe, and we know for a fact, that quite frankly, that drastically impacted, for example, the vote on House Bill 51 a couple years back. That was a huge part of it, was the engagement that we saw from people of faith, from pastors, including Pastor Skip and others here in Albuquerque, that said, we need to speak out against this. We need to make our voice known. And it was great, and we had some success.
Yeah, I've enjoyed talking to Steve Smotherman, too, at Legacy, because he's a guy that takes stand politically, and he'll tell our listeners, you need to register to vote, and then you need to vote.
Absolutely.
Very important. What has Vince Torres learned over the last 2 years that you didn't expect to learn going through all of this?
You know what? There haven't been a whole lot of surprises that have come my way. I just see opportunities, and I really see that New Mexico is at a critical juncture right now. And if there is a surprise, perhaps it's that we've come to that juncture quicker maybe than I thought. This election cycle is incredibly important. In fact, I think this will largely dictate what New Mexico looks like, again, not for the next 2 years or 4 years or even 8 years, but quite frankly, for many, many generations. This is really an election about the kind of New Mexico that our children and our grandchildren are going to grow up in. So I'll echo the sentiments of Pastor Steve and just say, get registered to vote, definitely vote. And do some research ahead of time and make sure that the people that you are voting for support the things that you value, like life, family, and our First Amendment rights.
So amazing. Vince Torres, thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect, and we'll get you back on here in a month.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Vince.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.